We're familiar with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, the seven universal laws. The way I remember them is the big three, the three things you have to give up your life for. If someone puts a gun to you and says, either murder someone, commit adultery, or worship idols, so we have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And then we have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Aver, Menachai, tearing a limb off a live animal. And then we have Beis, a euphemism, Birkas Hashem, is a euphemism for not to curse God, but we say bless God, but we mean you can't curse God. Three, Gezel, is theft, stealing, robbery, kidnapping. And four is dinim, setting up a court system. So actually, technically speaking, six mitzvahs were given to Adam. And why is it, and which mitzvah was added to Noach? Which of the seven? Which one out of the seven? Because really, that's why they call the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You could call them the Shisha Mitzvahs B'nai Adam, but we seem to call them the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You want me to repeat them? And then we have the big three. We have tearing a limb off a live animal. We have a euphemism not to curse God. We have kidnapping, stealing, and we have setting up a court system. Which one did not apply to Adam? It only applied to Noah, because something changed in the world.
Good question. Adultery, because there was only one woman.
Yeah. So the answer is that up until the time of Noach, meat was not permitted to human beings. To Adam, and that's what some vegetarians want to say. Let's go back to pre-Adam before the Chet. See, if Adam, who was on the highest level. So clearly, obviously the joke is, but you wear clothes also. And Adam didn't wear any clothes, but pre-chet. But the point being is, that's what the classical commentators talk about. Perhaps it's because Adam didn't need meat. The nutrients in the Garden of Eden were far superior. So whatever, that we could discuss in a vegetarian chair. But the point being is, what's clear was, it is true, Adam was not permitted to eat meat. It wasn't until Noah that he was permitted to eat meat. And that's what someone wants to say, the reason is because the mistake that Cain made with Hevel was, Rav Yosef Albo mentions this a little bit about, that Hevel brought a carbon from an animal, and God was happy. The hevel hevi gam hu, and so Cain figured he thought humans and animals are the same. So if I could kill an animal, I could kill a human. So he took it the wrong way. So the point being is, no, animals, humans are higher. So now he wanted to make it clear to the world, no, humans, you're up here, animals. You could consume animals now. So obviously there was no Aver Menachai. There's no tearing a limb. You couldn't eat any animal. So Aver Menachai only applied that once you had the mitzvah of eating meat, eating animals. So you can't rip a limb off a live animal. Sar Bar Lechai, whatever the reasons are. And either way, that's probably the mitzvah that was added to Noach, because that's the only thing that changed, yeah?
So what is the pasuk in Noach? The seven, there's two ways. One is that by the time of Noach, they're allowed to eat animals. I'd like to see what pasuk.
Yeah, we'll have to check the exact pasuk. It could be they just say it in there. Then now I don't have the chumash in front of me. I don't have the exact pasuk, but I'm sure it's... either it's going to be that you could read it and find it, or we'll find out from the Gemara how they, not everything is learned out directly, so the Gemara could have a drush on a pasuk.
Yes. And apparently you said Eva Minachai is like a spin-off from this, that because now we can eat animals, but we must still be careful not to, you know, not to kill animals that are still...
Yeah, that's one, that's one of the reasons they say... That's why he took 7 pair of kosher animals, because he knows now you're going to be able to eat animals. The other one, because the other ones he just kept to keep, you know, not to, from becoming extinct in that. So either way, that's not a debatable point. What the sources are, we could find them. But that's the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So we went from Adam to Noach, and we go to Avraham. And there's a... there's a lot of compare and contrasting going on between Avraham and Noach. In fact, there's the famous Zohar, which doesn't have such a great flattery. Usually when you compare Noach to Avraham, Noach doesn't look that good, as we'll have to see if that's true or not. But the Zohar says it directly. He says... based on a pasuk in Navi, it talks about the Mei Noach, the flood of Noach. What do you mean the flood of Noach? It wasn't his flood. Like, when he was the good guy, not the bad guy, wasn't he? So that's what the Zohar writes, is there's a fundamental difference between Avraham and Noach. He doesn't give this mashal, but I will. That Noach, let's say it's freezing outside. It's supposed to snow at some point. So there are two ways to stay warm. Either you could put on a nice winter coat, North Face, Canada Goose, you could pick your brand, or you can make a fire. So what's the difference? They both are effective. The difference is the coat only keeps you warm, but the fire keeps many people warm. So that's the Zohar's Taina on Noach. You know, I wouldn't say he didn't care, but Noach wasn't able to impact other people. Like basically, how for 120 years he built the Teva, no recruits. Imagine a rabbi giving a sermon for 120 years, not getting one Baal Tshuva, or not one person getting into it. So Noach, for 120 years, he's been busy, and yet, and people came to him. He said what he was doing. I don't want to say Noach didn't care, as we'll see. I'm not saying Noach didn't care about people, as we'll see. But he wasn't successful. But Avron, that he hanefesh asu b'charon, we know Avram spread ethical monotheism and he got many followers. So the Noach was unsuccessful. So Noach is like the coat, so to speak, and Avram's like the fire. Avram was able to go out and spread the word. So. Of course, you'll say, like, what do you mean? Because how do we begin the parsha? Vayomer Hashem al Avram lech lecha. Yeah, why did Avram go out? Because God came down and told him to go. If he didn't tell him to go, who says Avram would have went? If Hashem would have told Noach lech lecha, wouldn't have he gone? Like, so what do you mean? Like, what kind of comparison? Like, they both listened to what God... God told him to build the Teva. I built the Teva. So what exactly is the Zohar getting at? Or I don't know if he's getting at what. That's what I'm getting at. Is like so. What's the tiny? He did what he was supposed to do. So that's how different Mefarshim explained. Except so for others that no, of course Noah cared about his generation. But there's a big difference between Noach that Noach's generation and Avraham's generation. In other words, let's say for instance the famous Rashi in Noach last week that it says he's called Tzadik Tamim. It says Bedorosov in his generation. So Rashi quotes, it's actually a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Chazal, Yesh Dorshin L'Shevach, L'Shvach, some Dorish it for praise, and some doresh it for shame, for bad. In fact, that's the famous line they say about David Ben Gurion. I don't know if you heard of him. So David Ben Gurion, so he gave an exemption to the yeshiva boys. They didn't have to join the army. That's factual. If you're learning in yeshiva, you're exempt from the army, right? You with me?
Yes.
That's not debatable. So yesh darshin l'shvach, yesh darshin l'genai. That some say, see, even Ben-Gurion, he still appreciated spirituality, and that's why he gave the exemption for yeshiva people, because even though he might have been secular, but he still appreciated kedusha, he appreciated the love of Torah. And others say, yesh darshin l'genai, no. That's because at that point, there are very few people learning. If he would have known, they're going to be like today. I don't know how. I don't know what the numbers are. So then he never would have did it. So again, so the facts are he did it. So you could darshan. You could darshan any way you want. You can't argue on the facts. Yeah, Jeff, you seem to be.
What's the bad side of what he did? I mean, the
critic,
the condemned side. I didn't get
the. No, the critical is saying is that. He only did it because there were a very insignificant amount of people studying it. In other words, if he would have known today what Israel looks like, how many Charedim are learning, he never would have done it. So I said, I don't know. All I know the facts are he did it. You know, so you could. So the question is, why you darshan? Why darshan l'genai? Okay, so you could. So people don't like him or think, you know, he was a Russia or whatever they think of him. He was a mummer. So therefore, they'll say they could darshan l'genai. But you could discuss David Ben-Gur, but why are we darshan Noach l'genai? Like, it's like, for instance, let's say someone, I'm speaking at your graduation and you're the valid Victorian. So I'll say, you know what? I just have to be honest with everyone. It wasn't such a great class this year. Like, compared to last year's valid Victorian, hopefully next year, this guy, he knows nothing, but what can we do? Is a very small crop, so he's the best of the bunch. Like that might be true, but why am I telling people that? Like, what's the Yeshon L'genai? So that's what different Mefarshim point out. The Levush from Mordechai Yaffe. Let's assume again. The reason why I put David Ben Gurion as his example, I'm not making any judgment, but I'm saying is the facts were he had this exemption. And then you could decide whether he would have done it in a different generation. I was just pointing out, no judgment on him. I was just pointing out as an illustration to Noah. So let's assume everyone, let's say if you have an objective rating system, let's say 1 to 5. So let's assume Avram's a 5 and Noah's a 3 from an objective level. Let's assume that's the factual. Okay, that's the given. Ben-Gurion made the exemption. That's the given. Okay, now, so is Yesh Darshan, so Yesh Darshan L'shvach is, you know what, it's true he's only a 3. But imagine being a 3 in his generation. If he lived in any other generation, he would have been a 15 or a 20, or he would be the greatest. Or did I say no? It's true. So what's Yesh Darshan G'nai? It's not really G'nai. I'm saying is, Noah's a 3. That's the objective facts. I'm not, and it's true that it's because it was a very tough generation. He was in, but if he was in other words, but it's true if he was in another generation, he could have been also a 5, but he wasn't. So therefore, I'm this judge. So it's not Yeshon L'genai, like to say, we're not saying it bad. It's just a matter, we're agreeing to the facts. It's just a question of, do I say he would be even greater, and everyone agrees, let's say, he would have been greater another generation. Are we viewing him the way he is now, or the way he would have been? You know, but so the point being is, everyone, and the point being is, and even another way of understanding it is, that to show that you don't have to be a tzaddik. In other words, God recognized Noah, even if he wasn't the greatest. Like, every generation's different. Not all people are the best. You do a little better than other people. Let's say God marks on a curve. So, you know, it shows that you go ahead and you even if you're not that, God loves you even if you're not the greatest, as long as you're doing your best, you're trying the best you could do, so then you could do it, yeah. So that's the contrast, Avram versus Noah. Avram was always on. However, others point out that perhaps, no, maybe they complement one another. What do I mean? They complement one another. It's not a matter of, as you need a Noah and you need an Avram. In fact, you can't have an Avram without a Noah. What do I mean by that? So it goes like this. I'll quote you a Medrash. You could mute if you want, because I'm hearing a lot of noise in the back. I don't know from who, but I'm saying is, so they point out that we have a Medrash Tanchuma on the beginning of this week's portion. It says, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha," as I said, go out. So the Medrash, the way of the Medrash Tanchuma is they illustrate with a halacha. So they quote a halacha. What's the halacha they quote? If you're traveling on the derech, you're traveling, you're journeying, and all of a sudden it's time to say Kriya Shema. It's time to say Shema. And you get, so it says, when you get to Pasuk Rishon, when you get to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to stop. Stop on your trip, say Shema. And then it says, once you get to the Ahavta, so you get to the first paragraph, then you could say Kriya Shema and travel. You know, you could chew gum and talk at the same time. So the question is, like, it's a nice halacha, but what does it have to do with the pasuk? What does it have to do with the first pasuk in Lech Lecha? Avram wasn't saying Kriya Shema, so why are you giving me this halacha about Kriya Shema on the pasuk of Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha? So I heard a beautiful explanation from one of my rebbeim, Rav Nissen Alpert Zatzal. He was a Talmud Muvaker of Moshe Feinstein on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So he
who is this Talmud
Moshe
Feinstein? What's his name?
Rav Nissen Alpert.
Okay.
So Rav Nissen.
You ever taught by him? Did you ever teach with him?
I learned by him. Yeah, I was in his shir. I'm not sure, 1 year or 2 years. I don't remember. He pointed out, and I heard it in a Chumash here. So this goes back many, many years. This probably goes back in the 80s. probably sometime in the 80s. Because I came to YU in 81. It could have been 81. He's the first Rebbe I had when I came to YU. So it could have been 80. So how many years ago is that? Wow, 40 years almost. So he points out as follows, that Avram wasn't saying Kriya Shema, so why are we quoting this halakha here? So he explains as follows, because in life, everyone has to make a decision. We have to make many decisions. But one of the decisions you have to make in your religious life, and could be in your secular life as well, but that's you have to know when is you have to you have to, we go to school and we study, and then eventually to come whatever you're going to become. So how much schooling do you need? Do I go to university? Do I go to grad school? Do I go to a PhD? When do I go to work? Like, at what point, like, when am I ready? You know, like, how do I determine, like, what are the factors? So, So the same thing. We always have to work at our learning to become bigger Torah scholars. I mean, that's a constant thing. That's your whole life. Doesn't mean you have to sit and learn exclusively. You have to make a living also. So you make a parnas, you go to work, but you always continue. But let's assume a person who's they're brought up in an observant home, and they go through elementary, high school, and they learn a couple of years in yeshiva, whatever it might be. So at what point? Let's say I'm going to go to the workforce. Do I learn 1 year, 2 years, three, five, 10? So obviously every case is different, and sometimes you might not have an option. Obviously, if you have to make a living, you know, that might pull you out of the base of medrash whether you're ready or not. But yes. Assuming a person has the option of choosing, you know, etc. So, and that's always the, let's say, during my day, whether it was NCSY, let's say there are a lot of kiruv organizations, meaning going out and trying to make someone from. So on one hand, like, so do I stay in this, I don't mean full time, even going for a weekend, spending, in other words, do I leave yeshiva and go on a kiruv weekend to help other people, or should I be focused on my learning now? In other words, at what point do I say, of course you always have to give meiser, as Rav Moshe says. This is like you have to give 10% of your money, you got to give 10% of your time. So that's all. It's not 100%. You always should be helping other people, but let's say more than what's supposed to be given then. So I think because the minig in yeshiva, I think of Aaron Cutler, the Lakewood Mata, they think you should be spending your time learning now as opposed to going out, because I think he gives the mushel of a kiddush cup. You fill up the kiddush cup, and then when it overflows, it falls into the small, like, shot glasses, or, in other words, the more you know, how do you affect other people? By you working on yourself and becoming a role model, a Talmud Chacham, then it's going to spill over. If you're an Ama Aretz, how are you going to give it? You don't know anything. I'm going to go out and teach people what? You don't know anything. You know, so of course everything's relative to what anyone else knows. But that's, you know, the argument is that's true, I don't know anything, but they know even less, they know less than nothing. And therefore, but I'm just saying, so the Lakewood model is different than the Chabad model. Clearly, Chabad sends them out, you know, different people at different times. But like, whether it's, you know, the Torah Lashma, whether it's based on Velazhin or not, that, you know, we could get into it. But the bottom line is, they're different models. Like, how, you know, at what point, you know, everyone agrees to influence others, but do I work on myself and I become so good I become a shining light on others? Kind of like, that's also another distinction they say between Noach and Avram. Noach was the ark, kind of like he was learning in yeshiva. That's what they say, the ark, the Aaron. And Avram was the Mishkan. In other words, the walls in the ark were protected the foreign influence. You were working on yourself in the ark, but the Mishkan is a beaming light upon the world. That the Mishkan affects everyone else. It's a holy. The Mishkan's a holy place, but it shines outward. All the people around it are affected. So there's two different schools. There's the Noach way of closing yourself up. You have to protect yourself from the foreign influences. So Lech Lecha, you could ask, Avram was in the 70s now. Why didn't God 50 years ago say Lech Lecha when he was in the 20s, when he was a teenager? Apparently, God didn't think he was ready yet. It's 50 years of Avram not spreading, because what's the complaint? If I don't do it, who will? Well, you can't have any greater complaint than Avram, because no one was doing it before Avram, and it wasn't until so God could have told to Avram 50 years earlier to tell him Lech Lecha, but he didn't. Why? Apparently, because he was working on his Kabbalas Omacho. He was working on his own emuna. He had his own questions, difficulties to be effective to convince someone else. You got to believe in the cause. If you don't believe in what you're saying, it's hard to influence others. Many other things have to happen, but If you don't believe in what you're saying, people are going to see right through it. So the Efa Avram Avinu, he was working on it. He wasn't ready. So who said he wasn't ready? God said he wasn't ready because God waited till he was in the 70s to tell him. So therefore, that's what Rav Alpert explains. That's the pshat in the pasuk. What do you mean that when? So if you're walking on the journey and you get to the first pasuk, Hashma, what is the first pasuk? You're recognizing Hashem Echad. You're working on your own acceptance of God. So that you need absolute concentration. You can't, until you have that down, you can't do anything. So you have to stop. Once you reach the level of Avas Hashem, okay, so now you could start spreading the word. So it could be there's no machlokis here. Because why didn't God tell Noach Lech Lecha? Because number one, Noach didn't have the person. Not everyone's a key of personality. Not everyone's a personality that could affect, that could impact other people. It's not that Noach didn't try. Either maybe you could say he tried, he wasn't effective, or perhaps as other point out, no. Noach was very effective. Noach realized the generation he lived in was so bad, there was no chance of changing anyone. So what's my only option? I got to save myself and my family. If I get more involved in society, forget about changing them. I tried, it's not happening. I have to turn inward to protect myself. As the famous saying from the Chafetz Chaim said, when I was younger, I used to think foolish. You know what? I got to change the whole world. I got to make them religious. Then when I got a little older, he lived in Radin. I said, okay, I got to make my whole town religious. Then when I got a little older, I said, maybe my little community in Radin. And then when I got older, halavaya, make myself religious. In other words, the bottom line is that you have to first work on yourself, clearly. But the point being is, certain times turning inwards is a good thing. In other words, if it's terrible influences around you and there's no, and you can't, you're outnumbered and it out hashkafet, it's not going to, you see it's not going to help and you tried, so then you go back and you, so Noach was a pikeach. He was brilliant. He realized this and he changed philosophies and therefore he went ahead and he kept his family observant. You know, I don't want to say, see the word from, see today, as they say, from has a, usually depending who's saying it, unless you're saying you from that or you too, you generally from is a positive connotation. But back in Litta, it did not have a positive connotation. The saying in Yiddish was, and I'll translate in English, not that I know Yiddish, but this much I do know the saying, assuming I remember the saying. The saying is, a galach is from, a yid is erlich. Translation, a galach is a priest.
Yes.
A priest, not a kohen, like a minister, a Christian. A priest is from, a Jew is honest. And what does that mean? Erlich, integrity. Because what it means to say is, people like I think they, I heard Rav Shechter quoted, I think it was Rav Amital, who used to run Gush with the Raron Lichtenstein Zatzal. They used to run the Gush Yeshiva. So he used to say that when back, because obviously the last generation, so many times you learn the Mishnah Brura, he gives you the halacha, he says, Bale Nefesh, those who are, you know, whatever, holy, want to instruct. So for them, you should be strict. So he used to say, when we learned that, we thought about the Gedolim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Oh, Bale Nefesh. But I didn't think I was about. Today, people read the Mishnah Brura, they think they're Bale Nefesh. They think they're on that. In other words, in terms of they like showing off their frumkeit, it's a negative. He said that's why he says a galach. He's, you know, he walks in with the costume, with the uniform. You know, it says, you know, it shows what he is. It says people shouldn't have to know by your dress. Is God cares about what's inside your erlichkeit, whether you're honest, your integrity, You don't show. You don't have to tell everyone how frum you are. No one else cares, by the way. And you just keep it. You know, you do it. You keep it to yourself. Like the Mesilas Yesharim writes that he says everyone agrees you have to work on your inside and outside, but the question is how you get there. So the Mesilas Yesharim wrote, if you work on your outside, so then eventually your inside will come. The Chafetz Chaim, who lived many years later, said, I'm not disagreeing with the Mesilas Yesharim, but it's a different time now. During his time, he was probably right. But today, there are a lot of phonies and fakers, people like looking the part, but they're really not keeping the part. He says, today, we have to work on our inside, and then when you work on your inside, that will spread to your outside. And as one Rosh Yeshiva said 20 years ago, and it still applies today, he said, he gave a mashal, he said, that's the difference. The classical conventional oven, how do you warm a hamburger? In an oven, the outside gets cooked first and then the inside. That's the way it used to be. Today we have the microwave. Microwave goes right down to the root inside and then it cooks outside. So we live in a different generation where if there's too much external stuff, you have to focus on your inside. So Noach was a pikeach. Noach was brilliant. And that's why God didn't tell Noach, lech lecha. In other words, because number one, he didn't think he was the one for that role, clearly. But the point being is, Noach realized that he took the Chafetz Chaim's angle. You got to work on yourself because I'm the only one I could save. There's no one else to save. And therefore, let me save my family. And then as let me point out, so let's say God wanted to save Noach. So why didn't he could have just destroyed the world like this? And he could have saved all. He didn't need Noah. Like, whatever God wanted to do, he didn't have to do the flood. He could have just destroyed the world and said, Noah, here's the new world. Take over from here. Why didn't he do that? So, perhaps based on a Mesha Chachma and others, that it's interesting that when we read the parasha of Noah, it says he's a Tzaddik Tamim, a complete tzaddik. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's really referring to tzaddik refers to ben adam l'makom, between man and God, you're a tzaddik. And tamim means you're a tzaddik ben adam l'chaveru, interpersonal. So that's what but right before he goes into the ark, he only calls him a tzaddik. Not at Tzaddik Tamim. So why the change of language? So the answer, because Tzaddik, we're assuming, means commandments between man and God. You know, davening that, he was apparently what we're saying is he was lacking B'Adam L'Chaveiro. In other words, you know, he wasn't able, you know, working with the Zohar, that he didn't spend enough time, you know, according to what I'm saying is, according to this Pshat, it wasn't a matter of spending the time. He realized it wasn't going to work. But let's assume with the Zohar, let's assume the approach that said he didn't do enough. So how does building an ark help? So Noach, when he entered the ark, was owing a tzaddik, but Adam l'makom. So what did he do in the ark? There's actually, I think it's a medrash. See, it's very interesting to note. I never really thought about it. I was just reading this chart, and let me ask you something. Did Avram and Noach ever meet? Like, did these people overlap? Did they live together or separately? So I always just, you know, I just assumed Avram and Noach died well before Avram was born. That was just my assumption based on nothing. I was looking at this chart the other day and I realized it says Avram and Noach. I don't know if they met or not, but they lived it, like, they overlapped for about, I think it was about 50, 60 years, whatever it was. So actually, Noah was around with Avram. And in fact, you know, Noah's kids, you know, Shem, and we have Yeshiva, Shem, and Aver. So there's a Medrash that says Eliezer, Avram, like the Eved of Avram, I think it's him. I might be mixing up the names. He went to Shame or Aver. He went to Shame and said, "How was it in the Teva? How, you know, he, you know, imagine speaking, you know, I mean, how was it you see someone who survived the Holocaust?" But I'm saying is, you go to someone during, "How was the Teva?" He said, "You know what? The Teva was terrible. I think the Teva was terrible. You know what? 24 hours a day, because the animals all eat at different times. We were constantly feeding the animals. They're always upset. The lion bit Noah's hand. It was terrible. It was like the worst ever. I just couldn't wait to get off the Teva." So, so what's the pshat? So what do we see? What were they doing all day? They were feeding the animals. So what was going on for the year? That Noah was, they were, yeah. We have a tradition that Noah was on the ark for a year. I'll give you actually the English, I can give you the English dates and Hebrew dates actually, if I remember them. The Hebrew dates, when did the Mabul start? It's coming up. I actually wrote it in my calendar, so I remember. Yeah, that's right, October 27th was the English date. But the Hebrew date was the 17th of Cheshvan. So I wrote it on my calendar so I could remember, oh, Mabul started today. And it ended on the Chav Zayin. It ended on the 27th day of Cheshvan. I thought it was a year. That's a year in 10 days. So it depends if we're talking about a lunar year or a solar year. On the solar calendar, it started and ended on the same day. It was October 27th or 17th, whatever the date it was. It started and ended on the same day, because that's 365 days in a year. We're only 354 and change. So therefore, so the point being is, a whole year. You know what? Why did God put Noah on the ark? Why didn't he just let him go ahead, destroy the world? Let's go ahead. Because as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, La'olam b'chesed yibane. Noach is really Adam too. It was the new creation. He's starting a new world. Adam had one world. Now we're starting a Noach 2 world. And therefore, the world has to be based on chesed. And what was Noach lacking? I guess on his level, how have I, we, any of us were on Noach's madrega. But they point out that Noach was only a tzaddik. A tzaddik was ben adam l'makom. Tzaddik tamim is ben adam l'chaveiro. So we ask, well, it starts off, the parasha says tzaddik tamim, but yet before he went into the Mabul, he was only a tzaddik. So the pshat is, he needed to spend the year helping other people. Because if you're going to be, you have the koach of giving, the giving to others, it's only because he gave to others. And he had to help his, he helped his family for the whole year, and he helped all the animals. And as Rav Dessler explains and many others, that it's the people. So it's interesting to note that we know that we have a general understanding that parents love their children more than children love their kids. I'm assuming both love each other and love each other a lot. I'm talking a normal, regular situation, but the rabbis tell us that the love for a parent for a child is greater than a child for a parent. Why is that? So one answer given is interesting, is because we always go back to the original. So Adam HaRishon, he didn't have any parents, but he had children. So Adam was the first one. He loved his kids, so there was no Adam loving his. So this in turn, we always go back to the originals. And we see first in the Torah, so they point out, that's the way it was set up. That obviously that God set it up, that Adam was loving his kids, and Adam didn't have parents. That's how some suggest. But Rav Dessler has another suggestion, a famous, not just him, but many suggested, because people make the mistake that, what mistake do they make? They make the mistake that they think Right, that's Av and Hav, but that people think that by the Torah talks about loving someone. So the root word of Ava is Hav. It's Aleph, Hey, Beis, Hey. Hey, Beis is to give. And so loving someone means to give to them. Not, you know, I love my fish. That means I love myself. You don't love the fish, you wouldn't be eating the fish if you love the fish. In other words, loving means to give, not to... We know there are givers and takers in this world. The givers are the happy ones, ironically, and the takers are miserable because the givers are the ones who care about other people. And therefore, they point out that, as the Bali Musa say, let's say there's a snowstorm, and let's say you got into a little argument with your next-door neighbor, whoever it might have been, and let's say you had a little machlokes. So he says, you know what you should do? Go over and shovel next door. Why? Not because that person's going to love you. They'll probably hate you more. But because by you shoveling for them, you're going to put feelings in you for them. When you do things for other people, it gives you feelings. So as Rav Dessler says, is by giving to others, that's going to cause you to like the other people. So who's the prototype? It's parents. What do children want from parents? Give me this, give me that. And parents are giving, especially the Yiddish imam is always the example. It's pure giving. And therefore, that's why, because children are takers, parents are givers. So therefore, that's why the parents love the children more, because the more you give to someone is the more you love someone. So therefore, that's what God had to prepare Noach. If you're going to begin the world, Olam Bechesed Yibaneh, and you are lacking on his level of another Melechavero, so therefore, you know what you got to do? Spend a year in the ark giving. That's all you're going to do. You can't sleep at night 24/7. Speak to shame how awful it was to be in the ark. It was miserable getting bit by the animal. Imagine people complaining when you give them the food. Imagine lions complaining and elephants and bears. So it wasn't a pleasant experience, but that was the whole reason for it, is to develop midos of chesed, and therefore you were able to do it. So therefore, as they say, in order to get to an Avram, you needed a Noach first. Noach had to develop, first Noach had to work on himself, and we had to get rid of that evil world God destroyed. But he had to work on his chesed. Once he developed in the world chesed, now Noah can only go so far. He hands it off to Avraham. Avraham lechukha, he's going to take it to the next step now. Avraham is going to be go ahead. He knows how to deal with people better. He knows how he's good for the 5 o'clock news. He's a good speaker. You know, whatever the case may be, the things that when you're dealing with the social issues, and therefore that's why. So really, they are both great in their own. Noach was at one point he was only a tzaddik. That's why he was a tzaddik tamim. The Torah is telling me at the end of the day he was a tzaddik tamim, but to become a tzaddik tamim, he had to first go through the ark to not just be a tzaddik but be a tzaddik tamim. And therefore, he sowed the seeds for Avram Avinu. It's only because you have a Noach that he set you up, and that's why, and therefore you have the paradigm of Noach, and in fact, that's why they say in the Ark, there are two opinions. It says, Soar Tase Lateva. So there's one opinion, whether it's a window, or if it was like a jewel that shined. So these are the two school of thoughts. How does one give inspiration? How do you get inspiration? How do you give it? So there's the... So if you hold it was a window, he had to get his light from the outside. The outside came from, you know, which is assuming that the suns and stars were working during that time period. But if you say it's the jewels, it was the inherent motivation. We all need both. So therefore, that's what they point out, that Abraham, Noach was the one with the ark, and Abraham was the Mishkan, that basically he worked on himself for 75 years, and now he was able to influence people. just by being them being in his presence. And therefore the both tzaddikim. But for Avram to be successful, you needed a Noach first. And as the Bali Musar explained, I think Rav Huttner explains, and even though Noach and Avram are two different people, but we need that in our own lives. At first, you might have to begin as a Noach. You have to sit down and, you know, learn, work on yourself, become a better person, become a Talmud Chacham, and then you could go out like Avram Avinu and be Mashpia. So it's not Avram and Noach, two different people, but it's the Noach and Avram within ourselves. Yeah, Jeff.
This idea that this is one of the concepts you were developing was one of the reason given for not going to the ark is he had to work on himself before he'd be able to work on other people, really speaking. Well, working on himself for a year didn't seem to do him a whole lot of good. He came out of the ark, next thing you know, he's drunk.
What? No, but he would, yeah, so that's, yeah. That, yeah, but it depends how you learn pshat in there. Yeah, so, obviously, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't have, doesn't take away the chesed. Obviously, he needed, olam b'chesed yibane. God has to, the world has to begin on chesed. So therefore, he had to work in the ark for the year, do the chesed, so now we can move. It doesn't have to be Noach the one has to do it. So, you know, clearly Noach did something wrong. The question is what? You know, they say he went from an ish Elokim, you know, to an ish Adama. That's a separate Mesha Chachma. But right, that doesn't mean you're asking a pragmatic question. I'm talking conceptually. You're just saying, I'm saying is Olam b'chesed yibane. The world has to be built on chesed, so therefore Noach had to, not just Noach and his whole family, they had to keep the world going. How did they keep the world going? Olam b'chesed yibane. And then they kept it going. Now they handed it off to Avram Avinu. He'll take over from there. It's not that Noach was for nothing, because obviously the world would have been destroyed again.
Okay, so you're saying that Noach, at least he was a chassid. I mean, he practiced chesed, even with spite of his imperfections. He got that from the Tefer, you're saying. The concept of chesed he got from the Tefer, from being in the Tefer.
Yeah, I'm not saying, it depends which approach with it. I'm explaining how he was both. The Torah calls him a tzaddik tamim. I'm explaining how he's both. I'm not criticizing Noach. Right now, I'm just giving. I'm giving the pshat on why he's a tzaddik tamim. This is explaining something good about him, not bad. And he was a tzaddik before he had his ben adam l'makom, and now he even raised it to a ben adam l'chaveru. He became a tzaddik tamim. Yes, so and it comes to show you how great you are. You could always fall. That what happened afterwards. So what does that do with anything? Does that mean I shouldn't have learned because I go out and I did something else? No, doesn't mean...
I've got it, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.